Okay? All right. I'd like to call this meeting to order, please. And here's our agenda. First, we have a consent agenda, and that includes the approval of the agenda as well as approval of the minutes.
I move approval of the consent agenda as placed before us.
Okay. Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Now, we move to consideration of the 2018 grants to counties application submittal. Are we supposed to talk about that?
No.
Okay, is that the one that we recently, that I got recently noticed that we're going, that we can do it up till April 23rd?
Correct.
Okay. No one knows anything?
Is he going to be able to describe
Do you get those emails?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I did too.
Okay,
yeah.
So there were, yeah, that's what I think that is. But I don't ever personally make the application. So I guess I don't.
Well, we move on. Or you can choose to table it if it was an action item.
I don't think it's an action item.
Yeah, because I don't see it.
Consent item.
Okay, we've already actually approved it.
We already did it. Right. Okay, so we'll move on. Now, this is a public forum. This is a time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard from the Board of Health. And it does not... No one here?
Okay.
All right, so agency and departmental reports. Denise Denton.
Good afternoon, Denise.
Hey, first of all, one of my Iowa State students gave this to me. We finally figured out who it was today, and she's never going to graduate. Yeah, I think so. It's going to be late, but I'm a little fragile. So, you know, before you several handouts and you were sent something, what you got was just the report that we do monthly. We're back up a month, so what you get is February's because we've just finished March. But that's sort of the rundown of all things prevention, what we've done in all the schools, what we've done throughout the community. So it talks about all the different youth groups that we work with and the different campus groups. I believe in the report it talks about the day on the Hill where we took students down to the State House and they got to talk to at least some of their representatives about a number of things this year's topic was about marijuana and how the concern about that and legalizing it. So that was one of the things that they did simultaneously on the same day. My Iowa State Students Health Promotion Board sent, or Health Promotion Club sent an email with several documents to every single one of the representatives, sort of reinforcing the message that the kids were going to have at the State House. So we tried to dovetail on that. The other things that you're getting. Or the other couple things that are going on sort of simultaneously is the weekend before we had Reggie's sleep out in Jack Trice Stadium. And Reggie's sleep out, if you don't know about this, is something that we've done in the Drake Stadium for a long time. It's sort of a sleep out in commemoration of a young man named Reggie who was homeless and did not survive his homelessness, essentially. So Reggie's sleep out was created to remind people of that and to raise funds for homeless shelters. And so this year, the Ames Homeless Shelter and Access and YSS went together to do that in Jack Trice. That's the first time we've done it. I think there were roughly 1,000 people there and about 3 or 4 inches of rain. It was fairly miserable. But people there felt like it was a success. I think they had some fun. And then the other thing that's going on as we speak is Team Maze over in Boone, and that's something that we've done for 5-6 years now. About 1,200 seventh graders from Boone, Green, and Story County will go through the maze, and if you don't know anything about it, it's sort of like a life-size game board, the game of life, where kids go through the maze, and depending on what room or section they're in, they draw a card, and if they drive a car that said you had unprotected sex, then they get to walk around with a pregnancy belly on the rest of the time or a baby think it over. Or if they pick a car that says, whoops, you were drinking when you shouldn't have been, then they get to go see a judge. And oftentimes it's a real judge and real attorneys, and they get to spend time staying in the jail. And so, and then there are other things about how to, you know, how to dress for success. And there's 10 different rooms that they go through. And so over the course of the 5 days, about 1,200 seventh graders go through that. So that's a lot of work, a lot of details.
I hope one of those things are addressing what not to put on Facebook. Boy,
yes,
that's a very good lesson to learn early.
Yeah, there's one that discusses social media as well. It's become sort of a topic.
If you have
it didn't
any
start out with that one, but it's there now.
And so just an aside, Doctor's got it right here, in that if you have any friends that are in school administration up here with the district, please have them talk to their kids, because the thing is, as you hear going forward, is on the interview process. That's one of the first things. On notification, if you make application to a business, the first thing they're going to do before they even tell you you got their application, they're going to check you out. And if they see something, you might not even get a flush letter or a flush email. So, no, that's you can't help the kids help themselves too much on that one.
Too much on that one, I know. A lot of times they just don't get it. Anyway, so there are a lot of issues like that in the team maze. Another piece that we've been doing is we've been involved in what is now the heroin task force, I guess is what we're calling it, looking at, there's a lot of stuff on the news about the opiate epidemic. And so you have several pieces in there, a couple of them that we're trying to do a couple things with the heroin task force. One, just gather data about what is our current situation in Story County to address what issues are going on right now. We know that heroin is coming into Story County, it has for some time. And it sort of goes up and it sort of goes down, essentially depending on what other drugs are available and price point and, you know, what the market will bear sort of thing. So you're getting a couple pieces that we're including. Also, an information that we're trying to get out to the public. We think that we'll probably be doing what they call a listening post with Steve Lucan, who is the drug czar, Iowa's drug czar, and Peter Komenkowski, who is the director of the Partnership for Drug-Free Iowa. They're going around the state right now, meeting with groups and listening to their concerns about that, and we're talking about having them come to Story County as well to do something like that. A couple articles in there about what other areas are doing. And when I look at those things, I am really reminded about how I'm always saying to my students, the war on drugs is not just about kicking down doors. And one of those articles is about how the DEA is not just kicking down doors. They're suing some of the pharmaceutical companies to say, look, you knew that all those drugs were going to Florida and nobody asked a tough question about that. So looking at how you hold different people accountable and how you look at different policies to sort of push the envelope in different directions. You know, some of it has to do with availability, some of it has to do with popularity, some of it has to do, there are so many different facets that go into whether a drug gets a toehold in the community or not. One of the things that I have my students do is read a book called Methland. I don't know if you're familiar with this, and maybe I've mentioned this before, but it's a book about Iowa, and it's actually sort of the tale of two cities, Ottumwa and Olwine, and how meth came into those communities, how it became just much more likely that that would happen, and what both of those communities did to then reduce the use of meth. And I think it's a really good sort of morality tale or cautionary tale about what communities can do with their policies and their procedures. One of the things that Olwine did is they discovered that the people making meth there were using what they call the shake and bake method. And they put it in a pop bottle, and you have to shake it for a certain amount of time to make the meth. And the guys making the meth discovered that if they just strapped it to a bicycle and rode up and down Olwine's Main Street a certain number of times, that was the exact amount of time they needed to do that. So the city council made it against the law in Olwine to ride your bike up and down Main Street. Now, that didn't make all the meth go away, but it made it a whole lot less easy for them. And so that's what you look at with those kinds of policies, is how do you make it less likely that they're not going to be able to do it here? So like, not on my corner, not on my corner, until finally it's out of town. And so some of the articles that I gave you are a couple of instances of how they took some policies and made a difference with that. The other one that I thought was sort of interesting is we are seeing an increase. I'm seeing an increase in the number of kids who, when I give them a pre-survey saying, you know, how harmful do you think this drug is, they don't think tobacco is that harmful anymore. And we really thought we sort of took care of that, but if you sort of quit talking about it, you know, they don't see that problem. So one of the things that we looked at was what kind of messages are kids getting about tobacco. And the other thing is they're seeing an increase in the number of not necessarily the number of smokers, but there's been more tobacco sold in the last couple of years, and some of that has to do, they think, with just most people buy their cigarettes at convenience stores. When the price of gas goes down, people stop and get gas more often because they're driving more, they're stopping at convenience stores, and, oh, whoops, while they're there, they just buy more cigarettes. So there's all those moving parts that make a difference as to why people use more or they use less. And it's our job to try and stay on top of those moving parts and make sure that you don't move too far out of bounds. So those, I gave you just a few articles that I think speak to those kinds of issues, sort of those aha moments.
Okay.
Questions?
As you see states legalizing marijuana and it ripples through the country, is the discussion being had here on a local level where, well, it's okay in Colorado or it's okay in Washington State or anything? I mean, you see the pushback in the sense that it used to be just universal. Now you're seeing spots. I mean, is that what you're seeing now?
Mm-hmm. And one of the things, I'm glad you brought that up, I forgot. I'm doing a training. I used to do a lot of trainings on, say, drug-free workplace. Mm-hmm. And I am doing one for Iowa State next week for their general services people, all the people who are running the forklifts and moving all their heavy machinery. And so I was looking into that, and there's a white paper that was produced to look at the issue of drug-free workplace in Colorado. And what they're finding is, in Colorado, New Mexico in particular, you know, because people are saying they're using it for medicine, it gets sort of a free pass in terms of people can use it on the job then. As long as they're not using it on the job, as long as they're not getting high on the job, then they have won some lawsuits about that. Even though people continue to be impaired for a good 24 hours, it's getting sort of a, it's being treated differently because people are claiming it's for medicine, whether they're using it recreationally at home or not, because it doesn't matter. You know, use it for medicine, use it recreationally, it's still a drug, you're still impaired. But if they say, you know, I have a medical card, and so they're wanting to, you know, when people are impaired on the job, if they have a policy that says that they can't use that, the companies are losing the lawsuits about either dismissing or firing those people because it's medicine. And, you know, they've been prescribed it. So that's a problem.
How does OSHA look at that, though? Construction, he is a construction worker, that becomes a safety issue, and now OSHA...
Well, so instead they have to give them a different kind of job. They have to accommodate their illness. So they're paying for people to do jobs that probably they don't need them to do. Yeah, no, OSHA's not going to let them do something that leaves you unsafe, but it's sort of that state versus the federal law stuff. So we could be facing that. That's something to think about.
Yeah, that medical issue for... marijuana is always very, very interesting. I mean, they're really, I think we're going to see a lot of data over the next 5 years that will come out. We'll say that there will be some medical uses of or medicinal marijuana, but probably more of a compound associated with it as opposed to smoking marijuana. But that's why Denver, remember, that's why Denver just legalized it, because when they said it was for medical use in California, here are these doctors that got set up and got paid to give people prescriptions. And they said, oh, you got back pain? Oh, sure, that's, you know. And so they made, so Denver just said, well, boy, that's silly. Let's just legalize it.
In Colorado, there were roughly 2 to 3 doctors that were making 80% of the prescriptions. Recommendations. You can't make a prescription if it's not really legal.
But then that goes back to the same thing as prescribed in the opiates for painkillers.
And so the same thing.
Yeah, opiates same thing, sort of.
Impair you as well.
You can get too much of that.
Because, hey, help me on this one. We have a statute that reflects cannabis oil on the books now, personally in Iowa.
Yeah, for seizures.
But on a delivery basis, you can't buy it in the state of Iowa? Is that the way they're called story? Or is there, it's harder to come by a retail basis? Or what is the problem?
Yeah,
there?
I think
there's a disconnect by
right,
what we
right,
have.
Exactly. The law wasn't well thought out.
Okay.
And it was a shoot from the hip law. And so they didn't kind of think it through.
Okay.
So even though it's legal, they can't get it.
I don't see the logic in that.
Well,
we had to have a spring again.
Watching the legislature lately.
And again, medical marijuana has been in pill form since 1985. So it's not that people can't get it in pill form. but in smoked form, you're impaired. So there's the difference.
You know, I've always said, here's what they need to do. They need to make it a Schedule II drug and not a Schedule I drug.
What would that change?
That would allow physicians to prescribe it for indicated purposes. Medically indicated purposes. And if there are no medically indicated purposes and they start prescribing it, then they will lose their license pretty darn quickly. If they're prescribing opioids because somebody has a because someone has a stomach ache, I'm going to start losing my license. Or if I start prescribing opioids, I'm going to start losing my license. But if it's a Schedule II, it's a lot easier to study. So now it's a Schedule I, which is very difficult to study. Very difficult.
Okay. No, that's a lot of work.
So I
think we have water right around the corner from this morning.
So I've always thought that was a very, very interesting issue about that. If they just made it a Schedule II, it may actually put things off enough to allow people to study it. Because it's really, really hard to study a Schedule I drug, which is heroin. Heroin is a Schedule I.
All the states are our incubators, and if somebody's doing it right or better than we are, you should be talking to them. But then again, maybe that's too easy.
Well, I think that's... unfortunately,
I come from the more of a pedestrian approach, where it's just like, well, they're doing a pretty good job over there. Let's put back that down.
Yeah.
For what it's worth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, I think she's done.
Denise did a wonderful job again.
Okay, well, let's move on then and allow her to heal up. Okay, Kyle? Story County Public Health.
Good afternoon, Kyle. Good afternoon.
And you're leaving?
Yes, we can start there. I will no longer be at these meetings. Mary Greeley will have someone else in my place.
Where are you going?
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, tough call. I'll actually be going to Iowa State University. So, working in university settings. So.
In what?
Iowa State University. So, working with College of Human Sciences. So. But today I'd like to start. I gave you a few handouts in the back for the contract that we have with IPH. Local Public Health Services annual contract. We're required to, this year, as part of our progress report on an interim basis, we were supposed to have a success story. Can you help me out here?
There you go.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I was confused. And so that two-page front and back gives details the story of how our Meals on Wheels program changed over the last 14 months. A lot of hard work a couple organizations put in. And as we're just wrapping that up and going live with this, we've also at the hospital created some content around this. So this is hot off the electronic press, or however you might say that.
So what are you talking about? Are you talking about this?
A local public health services contract, fiscal year 2017 performance measure report.
Yes.
Yep. Something that you know about. Okay. And so I'll just direct you to the screen here first. This will be Ryan Dieter, if you know him. He'll be on screen kind of walking us through the new program here. But the paper you have is what was submitted to the Department of Public Health and tells the story more in detail.
Talking about Meals on Wheels for over a year now, working with Heartland to try and figure out what was the appropriate role for Mary Greeley and the meals service, what was the appropriate role for Heartland. We found that we had duplication of service, and so what we ended up doing is having Mary Greeley really take over the meal prep and Heartland coordinating the actual meal delivery service. The thing I like about this project is that it wasn't Mary Greeley leadership or Heartland leadership saying, well, this is what we think the end state should be. Instead, we let the people that were close to the program work with it and say, well, what makes sense for the program? And so now that the process has had a few months to see how it works, it was just a great opportunity for me to come out and take a look and really participate in it.
It's a baby.
Hi, I'm Brian Dieter, and it was my pleasure to be able to bring you out your meal today.
My name is Andrea, and I work as an outreach specialist at Heartland Senior Services. And so we were out today delivering the Meals on Wheels program.
All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great to meet you.
I think each story is unique, and the meals are important to each participant, you know, for a specific reason. But that it is very much needed service, and it does keep the participants in their homes, which is the ultimate goal.
So when you see the client's face to say, you know, this is obviously an important part of their day, and I think it's an important part of the health puzzle for them as well. So it's just affirming what you know intellectually to be true, but maybe receiving it on a different level, an emotional connection. I'm glad that we can provide meals. I'm personally glad that I get to come out and see some of our clients and understand where our meals go. And it's fantastic to be able to meet you and get to know you a little bit.
I appreciate
you
very much.
And so, again, just to highlight, this was a story that really was spearheaded by StoryKind Public Health, by our team. We are the ones that set out to identify the issue, say there's a problem, say there's, you know, identify this duplication of resources, bring this all together to ultimately what this past January culminated in a new combined program to serve older adults through, again, getting them the nutrition they need, bringing that benefit to their home, and going forward with that. So just wanted to give you that update on that. That's on our progress report that was submitted to the state for the local public health services contract. Additionally, you have a couple of our regular reports. If you have any questions, please let me know about the disease reporting for the last couple of months, as well as the financial report. Fiscal year 18, so next year's local public health services contract has been signed and submitted, and with no distinct change in services, so as is. That piece is there, and then there, I know Kristen has an item on emergency management, but just to know that the dollars, again, there's a big change going on through the state, but the dollars that flow through to the county for emergency management, which just means there's going to be a lot less, and we will be working in collaboration with a greater number of members. We'll actually be considered the 6-county coalition, with working with the hospitals, the public healths, the EMSs, the EMAs from those 6 counties, which would include us, Marshall, Jasper, Boone, Tama, Powashik. And so that we'll hear more about that in the coming months. That goes live July 1.
How would a latent case of TB be identified?
How's it identified?
Yeah, I mean, I've got an active, I understand the active portion, but on a latent basis, how does that rise to the level that's noted? Maybe somebody can help here with that.
It's where your test is positive.
Yeah.
You get a skin test and it's positive, but you're not showing any active disease. And so they treat it so it doesn't become active later.
Okay.
You only need to do that once in your life.
So these reportable conditions as defined, when they test positive, when that becomes positive test, they get reported to the state, and through the state epidemiologist, they work through us locally.
And so
Terry goes out, and then Terry's working and collecting further samples.
Okay.
Terry's helping coordinate the appointments they need, getting the medications and making sure they're compliant with that medication protocol, following up, making sure they're not taking the bus to their next appointment if it is active TB, things like that. So we're really in that person's life once we get that trigger. That call can come anytime. So
it stops it from coming out later.
Well, brucellosis there, it ends on researchers at NADC. What's that denote?
That's the lab.
I know where it is, but I'm just saying, what does, I mean, is, where, oh, is that where it was?
That's where it originated from, yeah.
Brucellosis, okay.
Yeah, because it's a disease that comes from working with those animals.
Yes.
Very infected with it, probably once they're human.
Yeah. So again, you know, this is, I would say, as an average 2-month period. I mean, nothing.
There's nothing special about this.
Nothing special. I look at just give it a very detailed level, but yeah, nothing special in this. This would be what we would consider about an average 2-month period for public health. These kind of the one-offs, maybe we don't get 5 salmonella. The mumps most recently had thrown us way off, again, on an annual basis.
where we were maybe in the 80s to 100 for annual cases reported. With the mumps, that was pushing us to 200 cases reported in a year, but with, again, 100 of those being specifically mumps cases. So yeah, you divide that out, this is about, I'd say about an average 2 month period, maybe a little bit high, but nothing. Okay, nothing on it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Did we get any questions with the news on the Meals on Wheels funding?
We sure did. So, again, as part of what we're doing with this, there's about 150 to 200 volunteers that serve Meals on Wheels throughout Story County. And so as we've gone through this, we've kept them, continue to bring them back and ask questions. So that's been a common question of our volunteers as well as from other individuals that support the program. As it stands now, the federal funding stream that Iowa received, that we received through the Area on Aging for Meals on Wheels, is not the same funding source that was being discussed most recently at the national level. Doesn't mean it's not at risk. I would say that the dollar amount that comes in represents approximately 1/4 of the total funding for the program. So funding for the program comes from 4 different areas: the federal, the local asset process, so the local funders, the United Way, City of Maine, Story County, Iowa State University, that they provide another about 1/4 individuals that are able to pay, do pay, and so they provide about 1/4 and then I'll think of the 1/4, but so it does affect it, but right now it's not at risk. It's not the one that was being discussed. Doesn't mean it won't get addressed at some point. But that's, again, that's part of this change, was to make the program further sustainable so that we could withstand a loss like that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Okay, so we have next Mid-Iowa Community Action, but I don't see anybody here from MECA. So we will skip that. And now Story County Environmental Health. You know who's going to give the report, or...
I don't know. You know what? You want me to give the report?
Sure. I got the slides. I've talked about plugging wells.
Just tag team it. You'll be right.
You're here.
Yeah. We've got no well permits this year.
No Chris
Hughes? Well, no, we'll talk a little bit about why.
Do you have any questions? Have you had a chance to look over it? Or?
Actually, do you have anything else to add besides what's on the slide?
The only thing I would, the only thing that I would add is I think Margaret talked to you about the Grants to County update and that we got more money. We've already pretty much used what we got originally, and that the new grant for next year, the application comes out today, and we have to have it in by the end of the month. So that's kind of why we had it on the consent agenda. But other than that, I think Myra wanted me to update on tattoo parlor inspections, and those are all done. We have six places in town, in Story County. All of them are names, and they're done now. And I'm going to be starting on the tanning beds, which is about 19, and we'll do those in April and May.
Okay.
And then I don't know if you wanted to update anything on pools.
Pools, I think, well, so far the hotels, maybe those, usually starting in February through May, and then the end of May is when we start the outdoor ones. I had those done by the end of June, so.
I guess I jump in here for the fact that we have a master matrix meeting we had back in
November.
We had, 44 indices, Ethan, and through our discussions, and they were lengthy and they were deep diving. Those are the 6 indices that we have a potential touch on as far as a county and its Board of Supervisors, and we don't even know how far we can go on that. We're waiting for, Ethan, you're more attuned to speak to this, but we're waiting for the session to end and the Attorney General's to take into account any laws that have been rented up, and there you go.
That's correct. We thought we'd run it by the Attorney General. They have two DNR staff attorneys, and those two staff attorneys are busy doing something with lieutenant transfer and the Deborah has a statement. Some changes to that. When they get back, they're going to have a chance to look at what we want them to look at as far as more than after. Is that opening for us to have some local control on these issues? And if they give us the go ahead, we'll try and do that through local health ordinance. So we come and get rid of them.
Okay.
All
right. Thank you.
All right. Just
okay. That's good. Okay. All right. Anything else we need to know about?
No. I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Any questions for our Story County Environmental Health people?
What about Crestview here? I see you have something about the next quarterly meeting that will include Crestview. What are we including?
Our plan with that is Crestview was left off the agenda this month because there was really nothing to report. But we will have them here at our, they will be on our agenda. We'll bring you up to date on hopefully some more water testing that will be done in the meantime. And but really, there have been no citations given or anything. He hasn't been burning.
What about all these vacant trailers and stuff?
He hasn't. That's the only thing. Hasn't. As I understand, talking to Margaret, that has not changed.
So and then going with that, where are they going with that?
Well, we'll be able to ask. Mr. Lemire, come next month. He says he will be here.
But we can't know what going.
Yeah. But as I was and when I talked to Margaret about this, she didn't want it on the agenda because there was really nothing else that had changed. No new, nothing else has come up. Okay. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Was there something?
Yeah, this one's next.
Okay. Yeah, I think your next discussion and consideration. This is under additional items. Discussion and consideration of enforcement policy.
I guess.
Tell me about that.
What really kind of brought this up was the septic contract maintenance or maintenance contracts. Advanced systems require a contract for the life of the system, you know, like in Pantex, PEEP filters, the ones that aren't just a tank and laterals in the ground, advanced systems. Kathy had started sending out letters to the ones that we didn't have contracts for. I think you started out with 46
I started out with about 41 sites that didn't have current contracts that may have had it in the past, but we didn't have the current ones. And I've got it down to maybe about 5 now. And we were trying to work on the next step so that going forward we won't have to do this mass mailing and trying to figure out, you know, to get people in compliance all along. So I think that's, well, we're going to talk about that, but I'm not sure how we're going to go forward on that just yet. So what were we thinking of, maybe bringing it up next time once we see how it goes with just the letter notifications and people responding?
We really aren't apprised of what Margaret had planned for.
Has she talked to anyone about that? She did not talk to
anyone.
So, we'd like to put that, we would like to table that for our next meeting, if we could. Sounds reasonable? Okay. All right. I have a feeling that we need to table the discussion and consideration of hiring an intern.
Probably not, because that was pretty time sensitive for the internship.
For the summer.
Yeah, for the summer.
Okay. So what are we proposing here?
All I know is what was discussed at a staff meeting the other day.
That someone had contacted a student had contacted Margaret with asking if there was an opportunity to intern with us, and she was going to try to move that forward and get that person on board. But that's all we touched base with the other day.
Do we have funding for that?
Not sure.
Margaret talked about if we did have funding,
that it would be $10 an hour. She was going to have to see if we could move funding around.
Right.
But which is, there was a possibility that the student may do it for free.
Yeah.
So she's just looking to create a position with the blessing of this board to offer to the Board of Supervisors. Is that what this,
so
this is?
I think so, yeah.
Is this the Board of Supervisors?
Well, no, this would be the MAC under recommendation.
But I guess if it's an unpaid, I think it's up to you guys. But if it ends up unpaid,
that's so once again, we're trying to get to somewhere, not knowing which direction to walk.
Yeah.
What would the person be doing? Good question.
Something
I can't answer.
She didn't get into specifics.
In the past, summer interns have done things like when you were going to an electronic record system, they were going through the files and they did things like that, and they usually had a big
right. And one year we had a student that was helping us doing water sampling for discharging septic systems.
So I think there probably is a project available, but since this is time-sensitive and we don't really know what we're doing, I don't know, would it be possible to have a proposal sent to us and we could, because it has to be kind of public, right? Because it's a public meeting.
Or can you just say
could we talk about it on April 18th? Come around together again?
When Margaret talked to you, what kind of, when you say it's time sensitive, how is that, is 2 weeks from now that out of that window?
I'll see you.
For the special meeting, you mean?
I'm the person who supervises them at Iowa State.
What? Oh.
It's a U and I student. Oh, it's U and I, then I don't care.
Thank you, Denise. Dan.
Okay.
I imagine it's probably pretty close to saying what's.
But yeah, they have to have a letter of intent sort of thing that needs to be done by our students. We're meeting with them next week, saying, where's your stuff? So.
I would
so
be
it's sort of time sensitive. But you and I, they might be able to.
If this board offered a framework to the Board of Supervisors, we could plug in the specifics. If you're just looking to give direction and a recommendation, I would say that we have the ability to flesh it out in detail.
I would have no problems with hiring an intern. It has been done in the past as long as funding is available.
Funding is available. I was thinking in the past that we needed to hire them for liability purposes. If they were here free and something happened, we had a problem.
Yeah.
And I think the amount was based on what Planning and Development offers their interns per hour.
Dave Weisman paid in the past.
Yeah, P&D, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we, would anyone be objecting to a movement or a motion that we approve a summer intern as long as funding is available?
And we have a project.
And the project is present, and then the details will be given to us.
Or the Board of Supervisors work it out, too.
Since we only meet every 2 months.
Yeah. No, I think you can gate it anywhere you want, just as long. I think I would try to move something from this board to that board so that they could act upon it. You know, either take it up, add to it, or just dismiss it outright. I mean, there's no, it doesn't lock us in on the verbiage. It just says that you saw worth in it. It was a suggestion offered to you by Environmental Health, and you acted upon it.
So I would entertain a motion to approve the hiring of intern for an intern this summer as long as funding is available.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? Yeah. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay.
Good job.
Anything else we need?
I have one question. One question for you.
Where are we at on a country club septic system?
That I don't know. The storage shed on the north side, that system was installed, and that's all.
Yeah. Well, they don't. So they're still pumping their tank?
I think so.
They're doing it still? So how much longer can they do that with summer coming upon here? With they're going to get busy.
As long as they stay ahead of the pump, you can pump forever. As long as they want to pay for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, now we get to talk about...
Yeah, every time you can't have to fail.
Right. So now we get to talk about our emergency planning and Board of Health responsibilities, and this has been spearheaded by Kristen, and so go ahead.
All right. Go ahead. So Keith Morgan and I, as you guys know, met 3 weeks ago, I think it's been, I'm not sure. Just to discuss kind of what he felt was important, what I felt was important for us to do moving forward, just in the focus here is to improve the Board of Health's understanding of what our roles and authorities would be in an emergency, better understand the code, and then the relationship that we have with Mary Greeley Medical Center.
That's true.
So our plan is to have two sessions or two meetings, the first of which is going to be April 18th, which is Tuesday at 5 o'clock. That's going to be held down in the basement in the Emergency Operations Center for Story County. So if you said when you get off the elevator, you take a left. Hopefully you guys get a calendar invite for that. I sent one that had the location in it and stuff. But if you have questions, let me know. At that meeting, and we'll post the agenda so that we're meeting, or it is posted, the open meeting laws. But we're going to review sections of the Story County Emergency Response Plan, review the code looking at state and local responsibilities, and then we're going to discuss incident command structure for response in Story County and look at roles, tasks, finances, that type of thing. The incident commander in particular, and then discuss the role of healthcare coalitions, which is what Kyle was just talking about with the six counties. That's relatively recent that that's happened, right? Where they, Keith kind of was telling me about that.
It's still in process.
Okay, that they're, like he said, changing how counties work together on emergency management. So now they're forming these healthcare coalitions. So
and can I interject that?
Yeah,
while that's happening, it doesn't change local response. Local response is still local response. The coalition thing is more just a broad concept, but doesn't, should not affect the work with the local agencies in response.
Okay. And so we sent some, or I guess I sent some homework ahead of time. Three of the things are the ICS trainings that Keith and Kyle discussed at our last meeting back in February. So ICS 100, 200, and 908, and the websites are there. That's all online that you can access those. And then at a minimum, I had a lot of challenges sending this out, but I did get eventually the PDF sent out for the pieces of the Story County Emergency Response Plan that Keith would like us to come prepared to discuss. So.
And you were crashing our system. You were beyond our bandwidth.
I did. I totally crashed it, and then my Cybox didn't work. And
it was a struggle to get it out. I saw that.
But. So that's the plan, and then he would like to hold session two sometime. He said no sooner than July, so we'll move forward with that pending our first meeting. Do you have questions?
Has he talked to you any about consulting with Dr. Weidert over there on national casualties?
Current
discussion he's having right now.
Okay.
That would roll to us that they're trying to formulate a plan because he's good about revisiting policies, not letting anything get outdated. He's found this one to be it's interesting.
Okay.
The funeral director is brought in the process here that used to go in and talk to a pathologist, and he and Keith are doing a deep dive in regards to, you know, both the determination of what in fact is a mass casualty event, where in fact and the response is involved. So that's on a parallel track to what we're doing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it should be a good discussion. We anticipated taking about an hour and a half.
Is this the FEMA stuff that got passed out?
The ICS trainings or FEMA trainings. Or are you talking about something different?
I think you guys sent me, and I was looking at it, and the verbiage is thick.
It's
an inside baseball discussion, and it's just like
So I think Keith's main purpose is just so that we're a little bit familiar with the terminology, like incident, because there's very specific terms that get thrown around, and it's a structure that's supposed to be transferable to any situation. So obviously you don't have to have it all memorized, but just seems sort of familiar.
If you have not watched it, it is one of those that take a good long time. And you just sit there, and I kept myself writing stuff down, and I just, frankly, I don't think I had a very big takeaway for the, I didn't understand. The conversation is scaffolded in a way, if you didn't already know what they're going to start, they're talking to you about, you probably don't have a lot of buy-in.
So hopefully he'll be able to kind of show us what applies and what's practical. It goes beyond, you can get really in-depth with ICS.
Yeah. If you lose.
I thought it was very interesting. I thought the third one.
The 908?
Really kind of tied it all in. It gave you, all the other stuff seemed really boring, like incident command, who does finances? Well, this is a liaison officer, and it's like, I had to keep missing those questions. But then the last one put it all together and said, this is our responsibility. And, because this could happen. And so that's what I liked about it. And you went through the boring stuff. And that last one said, this might come on our shoulders. And so we have to be ready.
We're wise to take it on.
Yep. So as much as I was complaining, because I was complaining underneath my breath about doing another meeting, but after that third one, it's okay.
We can have donuts.
There we go.
Yeah, that's right. Always in the county and providing donuts.
I don't need donuts.
I don't either, but you don't say no when you see them.
Okay, right. Okay, sounds good. Anything else you'd like to
ask? No, that's all I have.
Okay, so now it's time for comments. Any comments from the staff? No comments from the staff. Any comments from the board? Mark?
Ben?
Marty?
I gave mine.
Okay, I would just like to say real quickly that, Chris Crescu will be talking about them in June, and Margaret James will is going to alert Mr. Lemire that he needs to be here. And because of one of our meetings way back, we requested that he come to these meetings because we usually talk about Crestview. So he was excused from this meeting because we had nothing new to talk about. But the next meeting, he should be here.
What was your June meeting?
June?
I think it's the 7th. I will not. 7th? I'm going to be in Columbus taking my board exam that week, but I can come the following week.
I always, Tuesdays work for me, so I'm not going anywhere.
Next week, Tuesdays are a very good day for me, too.
Yeah, so do we want to change it to the next week?
It's all right with me.
Yeah, I'll be gone the next week. That's okay.
So the ball's 50-50, yeah, so.
Yeah, I'm fine either way. If you guys, you're welcome to hold it.
Just tell me which.
If it's a matter of one person being gone either way, I'd rather us just stay on what we've had planned.
Sure.
So the
6th? 7th. 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 so I will take a motion for adjournment.
So moved. Second.
Okay. We're adjourned.